This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Welcome to the show. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. As the debate continues about how to avert the so-called fiscal cliff looming at the year's end, another law is set to expire at the end of 2012, and it requires Congress to act. The Farm Bill is up for reauthorization, and some are calling for it to be part of the broader negotiations over spending. The Senate passed a bill earlier this year, which would result in $23 billion in savings, but the House has yet to act. But some have complaints with what was contained in the Senate version to begin with. Earlier this year, Lake Effect environmental reporter Susan Bent spoke with Margaret Crome, who takes a sustainable view on farming issues. She's a Madison-based public policy expert who works with Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. Bent sat down with Crome following a talk she gave to the Milwaukee group Friends of Real Food. Crome talked about what she thinks should be the bill's priorities.
The things that we want to see in the Farm Bill are starting with farmers. You got to have farmers if you're going to farm, right? You need to have farmers, and we're losing farmers, and we're not getting enough new farmers. And so we need to support beginning farmers and ranchers around the country. We need to be supporting the farmers who are in agriculture in their conservation efforts. We won't have an agriculture in the future if we don't have farmland, and if we don't have soil, and if we don't have water. We don't want our nutrients to be going down the Mississippi River to the Gulf of Mexico. We want them on the farms. We don't want the soil silting up our dams. We want it on the farms. For future agriculture, we need conservation program funding. We need to have research, education, and extension funding so that we can plan the blueprint for our future, so we have future innovation funding to support future innovation, so that we have all of the flexibility that we can create as we tackle increasingly difficult weather, increasingly uncertain markets. We need to be as flexible and responsive as we can be, and that takes a great responsive research, education, and extension system. We need to have support. We need to be supporting organic agriculture. We need to be supporting farmers as they make their choice to help those farmers get certified, and to give them the research information that they need. They need to have the assistance of the conservation programs, and they need to have that technical assistance. Speaking of conservation programs, we need to have the conservation programs provided for with mandatory funding so that it's not subject to cuts. And unfortunately, conservation has taken more cuts this last year, a disproportionate amount of cuts. As we've gone through the budget cuts of the last few years. We need to have conservation programs that are responsive to farmers and reward them for doing what they've already done and then provide incentives for doing more. We need to make sure that the commodity programs, the payments that go to farmers for either commodity program production or for crop insurance, that those programs are made contingent upon meeting conservation expectations, standards. That's in the interests of society. We need to make sure that those provisions are enforced, and we need to make sure that there are actual caps on how many payments any one farmer can get, so that we don't end up with these grand disproportions where a huge amount of the money goes to a very few farmers and increases their capacity to dominate the landscape. We need to make sure that there's fair competition in the marketplace so small farmers who are trying to sell their livestock don't end up getting buffaloed by the processors and the packers. They, in fact, get a fair price. We need to make sure that when farmers are given a contract, it's a fair contract. And we, of course, care about local foods, and we want to make sure that farmers are given every opportunity to sell local foods in the marketplace, given technical assistance, that we help support the market mechanisms, and we want farmers to have value-added opportunities. Lastly, we need to support rural development.
Talk a little bit about value-added, what that means.
Sure. Value-added is a term that refers to the fact when farmers produce milk, they can make cheese. They get added value from making cheese. When they grow wheat, that can be made into bread. Now, you know, any product has value added to it, but you want to have farmers able to help be part of the chain that not only gives the raw commodity, but actually sells the goods that have that added value so that they retain the value, so that they are as profitable as they can be, and it's not just supporting all sorts of pieces of the chain, and farmers are getting impoverished for selling just less expensive raw commodities.
You mentioned that you've been involved in farm bills for a couple of decades. So are the battles that are being fought now, a variation on battles that are fought every cycle, or do you find changes? Do you find it becoming more difficult to advocate and, you know, make gains for those areas that you're most concerned about?
Well, we've actually made a great deal of change. I think that one could always find things that need to be changed and need to be made better. However, keep in mind that it was only because of very strong, committed advocates that we've gotten so many really great programs for conservation, that we have so much support for organic agriculture, that we have so much support for beginning farmers, that we have so much support for the transparency of our market system so that people can purchase locally, so that they can, in fact, farmers can sell directly to consumers. So we've made major strides, and that's only because people have gotten invested. I'm actually quite optimistic because we have so many people excited about food. Look at all the people who came here tonight. They came because they're eaters. They didn't come because they're farmers. They didn't come because they have a vested interest in a particular form of, processing. They came because they're eaters and they want the food system to serve them. There are millions of people, and that wasn't true when we got started. People weren't galvanized in cities like Milwaukee to get engaged in the food system and farm bill fights, and now they are. That's exciting. So that's a potential opportunity that we should be capitalizing on to give everybody their democratic rights to get engaged.
You talked about what you see as being the power of grassroots involvement, and your hope is that that will have some sway in this discussion and decisions that are made.
I'll give you a nice story to illustrate the point. So I was giving a talk at the big conference called MOSES, Midwest Organic Sustainable Education Systems Conference, back in February. 3,300 people at that conference. So Senator Herb Kohl was there. And with people there in the audience, I asked him if he would make a commitment to not cut conservation stewardship program, and would he commit to increasing the SARE Sustainable Ag Research Education Program? He said, I will. And he did. People totally were excited. They applauded, they cheered, they wanted it, and people followed up with him. And he made a commitment. He heard from people. People respond. Members of Congress listen to their constituents. The constituents' responsibility is to communicate effectively.
Can you give an example of a program that you've seen at work and what the difference the lack of that program could mean to a farmer or to a producer?
I have a perfect example of a program that unfortunately was cut by the Senate Agriculture Committee in the farm bill that they passed, and that is the Value-Added Producer Grant Program. If you were to go down to the Delavan, down southeast Wisconsin, you'd find a wonderful farm there, Penn Oaks Farm. They got a Value-Added Producer Grant to help establish their on-farm lamb processing center. So they can process lambs right there. And they established a protocol with a number of other, 30 other lamb producers, so that they now produce lambs for them, and they have established a market. They're now the largest lamb processing center in the state. They hired six people, six new jobs as a result, and all of those farms now have bigger markets and created firmly established markets thanks to the Value-Added Producer Grant Program, which is a program that has served Wisconsin tremendously well, and it's a big loss to imagine that the Senate Agriculture Committee did not fund that program. They funded it at zero in their farm bill. That is a total error, and that has to be corrected. Can I give you one more example? There's another really important program that I need to speak to. Outside of Madison, there's a program called the Farley Center for Peace, Justice, and Sustainability, and they're working with immigrant farmers, helping them get started. And these farmers are now getting markets, they're getting paid well, and this program that has been funding them, they've gotten a grant from a program at USDA called the Outreach and Assistance Program for Socially Disadvantaged Farmers and Ranchers. It's a mouthful, yes. But don't you want to have the USDA funding minority farmers? The Senate absolutely gave them zero funding. That's a perfect example. We want our farmers in the state, all nationalities. That's one of the things that's made our agriculture so vital and so vibrant. We need those kinds of programs to help all around this country farmers get started and bring their expertise, their agricultural expertise, and pour it into our melting pot.
You talked about marker bills. Mm-hmm. Are those initiatives that you and other coalition members advocate and get rolling in the discussion and then hope that pieces of that will be folded into the final bill?
Yes.
So what's your number one marker bill?
Oh, there are two or three, I'm afraid, but I'm going to say the one that's critical is the Local Farm Foods and Jobs Act. That's a marker bill that is addressing local foods, farmer profitability, and the consumer's access to the kind of food that we want to eat. The Beginning Farmer Rancher Opportunity Act is a critical bill that helps us repair the damage to our farming population so we can get more farmers in agriculture.
I know that you've said that there's great strides that have been made, but in this sort of hashing back and forth from one budget bill to the next, do you feel conservation and stewardship, that fundamental core is always there, no matter what happens Congress?
It really makes a big difference how conservation programs are funded and it has direct impact on the land. So, you know, as conservation programs funding erodes, we find greater nutrients in our streams and lakes. We find more soil going down the Mississippi River. We see the dead zone expanding. That's true all over the country. That's not the only dead zone. We have the dead zones in the Chesapeake Bay and in the West Coast. I mean, it's an issue all over this country. And so we are at risk of a considerable loss of the soil, which is the productive capacity for future generations. And that happens directly in response to cuts to federal conservation programs.
So when you say future generations, that's what we pass on or don't pass on from one generation to the next.
The farmers of today are farming thanks to the efforts to protect the soil in decades and centuries past so that they can farm. So our national productivity is dependent upon people who never knew us, but who protected the soil and the natural resources on which our agriculture depends. And that's going to be true for future generations. They're depending upon us.
Margaret Crome works with the Wisconsin-based Michael Fields Agricultural Institute. She spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz about the future of the federal farm bill, which is due to expire at the end of the year. NPR's Brian Naylor recently covered the story of whether to include the farm bill in the fiscal cliff negotiations. There's a link to that feature from WUWM.com/lakeeffect.